Welcome everyone to tonight's CCL training program. It's a weekly webinar of Citizens Climate Lobbies that provides CCL supporters like you and I with access to in-depth training opportunities on topics relating to climate change and effective climate advocacy. I'm your host, Rhett Cease, and tonight's special topic is on helping you lead a lobby meeting. So we're going to jump into this training with details about your special role as a lobby meeting leader. The lead makes sure that our teams go into that meeting with a plan and that everyone knows how to work together to ensure a successful outcome. You also might be listening to this call because you know you're either leading a lobby team meeting the week of December 7th, or because you realize you might be needing this role in the future, or simply because you want to keep deepening your understanding of how to lobby with CCL's training program. Either way, we're glad to have you join this call. And with us tonight, to get us through with her wealth of experience, my co-presenter is going to be the wonderful regional coordinator of CCL's Northeast chapters. Iona Ludi is dedicating her life right now and has been to stopping climate change. As CCL's Northeast Regional Coordinator, Iona delights in supporting the incredible work being done by state coordinators, group leaders, congressional liaisons, and the precious volunteers in the region, loves hearing about their victories and their challenges and being able to help. Iona's been with CCL since 2013 and helped found the Columbia County, New York chapter and has since served in many roles. A quick reminder here before we jump in that we do have two trainings that we are recommending all of our lobby attendees attend ahead of time. I'm guessing most on the line here tonight have already done this, but if you haven't yet, these two trainings were done by our Vice President of Government Affairs, Dr. Danny Richter. There are a legislative plan for the year ahead and a review of our primary and supporting asks. We're not gonna be going over a lot of that tonight. And we do recommend if you are sending out any kind of final prep work for your teams, this short link is a great little spot, or you can just have them search for CCL's community for December lobby training. And just as a little reminder, if you're interested, we are actually available. The lobby training tonight, here is a link in the chat where you can find it. So thanks so much for jumping in, and we're gonna help take care of you tonight. If we've done our job well, we'll cover these topics and we'll stay on until everyone's questions are answered. The importance of leads, the importance of advanced planning, the importance of thinking through some suggestions on how to put together your meeting plan, and additional ways that you as meeting lead can considerably boost your leadership skills throughout that meeting process. So with that though, I'll actually pass it to the one and only wonderful Iona, and we'll get started here tonight. Thanks so much for joining us, and keep using that chat as we jump in.
Thanks, Brett, and hi everybody. And leadership is so essential that we cannot function well without it. Yet, as you all know, it can be time consuming. It requires a great deal of flexibility, and especially this year, we've all had to step out of our comfort zone to be a leader. Before starting this presentation about leading a lobby team, I like to share a quote from John Woods of Braver Angels, who will be part of our national conference on Saturday. Our nation faces a test right now. You could say it is a test of our commitment to social justice, constitutional liberty, economic survival. Each of these may be right, but more than anything, we face a test of our ability to hold true to the civic conscience of American life that freedom fighters from the revolution to Dr. King and beyond died to give life to. That is an America in which we meet injustice and political differences with moral resolve coupled with goodwill for our neighbors and commitment to the communities that are the cradles of our shared tomorrow. So in the midst of a pandemic, economic crisis, and deeply rooted systemic racism, I hope you're taking care of yourself in finding your voice and being part of the solutions we need. And each of you, we recognize, are stepping into the unknown, learning new technology, taking on the responsibilities of managing your own team's scheduling process, reaching out and coordinating all of your teammates online while balancing social distancing. We can't thank you enough for being willing to do just that. Put yourselves on the line to help our lobby meetings go well. We're so grateful to all of you for your hard work. You are so essential. We can't do it without you. So before we jump into tonight's training, we wanted to make sure to provide a quick review of our advantages as citizen lobbyists as we meet with our members of Congress. So a lot of us will feel nervous going into a meeting, and that's normal. But remember, our advantage is that we're citizens, not professional lobbyists. So although we want you to be professional, you don't have to try to be a, quote, professional lobbyist. This is as true here as it is for our volunteers in Canada, Australia, and any other country. So relax and be yourself. Do whatever helps you get into that empowering, listening place ahead of your meetings. I personally like to take some deep breaths and get in touch with my gratitude for being able to engage in our democracy. And part of what sets CCL apart in the eyes of the congressional offices is that we are ordinary people who care deeply about humanity. And as humans, we should accept that there will be mistakes. You'll make mistakes, or your teammates will. I certainly have. There'll be things your team will say that could have been said better, and we'll show you how to handle this situation in this training. We're building relationships, so be human and embrace whatever happens. In the short amount of time that you are in an actual meeting, how you facilitate that meeting is important. So let's step back and consider the bigger picture for just a moment. And the bigger picture is this: you as meeting leaders are well positioned to nurture and empower the others. Make it one of your goals to mentor or nurture the lobby team so they build their capacity for this work. So how does a meeting lead help others grow and empower them? Well, the best leaders show faith in those around them, and that's what we're asking you to do. Having faith in others means you know there are going to be some coachable moments. And to feel empowered, people need to be put into situations where they can both succeed and fail, and where failure is part of the learning experience. So your job as leaders is to bring out the best in people. And you can do this during the planning or practice, during the meeting, and after the meeting. Ellie likes to say the meeting leader is like a conductor. The leader is there to manage the meeting, not to dominate the meeting. This means the leader is not necessarily the one who talks the most, but who's in charge of the transition points of the meeting, between speakers, between roles, getting the conversation back on track, wrapping things up, cueing people. That can be verbally over the online meeting, or non-verbally with your video feed or group chat or text, whenever they're taking too long. If constituents and the liaison are present, the leader also ensures they are heard from. The leader should also be able to understand the meeting situation and respond accordingly. And one example of the mentoring is that we can help younger people feel part of the process. And one great way to do that is getting them involved with the technology. That just comes naturally to them, we've all seen. And they can contribute so much and feel really great about it. So CCL does recommend including a volunteer in every meeting who will solely be helping your team with managing the technology platform you will use. And now let's go to Brett for advanced planning.
Hey, thank you, Ayanna. And we'll just say with this section here, we realize we're kind of positioning ourselves a little bit in the later end of your advanced planning as the meetings are happening in just a few days. So for some of you, you know, you probably already have done this, but others may still be waiting to hear back from your office. We are hearing, especially this cycle, that there are quite a few offices that are holding their cards close to their chest and making meeting planning as far as the exact time for the congressional office still kind of held up. And so let's jump into some of these considerations, whether or not you've actually done these or not. This is a really helpful mental checklist to go through. And then after we get through this section, we'll stop for our first Q&A. So with that, let's jump in with thinking first and foremost about platform considerations. So I'm guessing, again, you've probably already heard back from your office as far as who or what they might prefer, but on the off chance that you haven't yet, especially while you're setting that appointment, feel free to consult with your congressional office about what technology they want to meet on. And as volunteers, you know, we obviously are probably most comfortable with Zoom because that's what we have the most background on. But ultimately, that platform decision should be left to your member's office. And as soon as you confirm that platform, then start setting up your meeting planning with your group to practice using that same application, especially if it is a different one that you're used to. The great thing about this is that there's obviously great support out there, depending on whether we're talking Teams, Skype, Google Meet, or Hangouts, you name it, WebEx. If you just search for the product's name and support, you often can find obviously some great resources. And we've got a whole training section devoted to that actually called Practicing Video Conference Security, and a link with a lot of those support pages that I just put in the chat. So check that out. And then once you kind of settle on your preferred platform, an additional consideration to really help make early on is deciding who is going to be on your team. And again, I'm guessing that most of you have already thought through this with your liaison or group leaders to determine who that composition is going to be. But you can think about featuring voices like local business leaders, other trusted messengers, young adults that haven't had a chance to have this experience yet, other community members that have been enthused and would really be able to connect with your member's office. All of those are great potentials. The size and makeup of your group is also going to depend on what your goals are. Our ideal size for these meetings, whether they're online or in person, is right around that 6-person mark. That helps manage the agenda, move your member up the forward in a way that has intimate conversation balanced with the chance to feature a variety of voices. But you're also welcome to use larger groups. They definitely have advantages, especially if your member is saying they aren't hearing a lot from constituents about climate change, showing up with 100 plus people. That's an effective way to really counter that narrative. On the other hand, with a large group, you might not be able to have a meeting, obviously, where they feel safe enough to really deepen their own feedback and concerns about the Energy Innovation Act or about what policy preferences they might have. So that's really a trade-off that we leave up to you as the meeting lead and your liaison to really deem what's going to be most effective. And we definitely are happy to field questions on that here as we get into the chat section. So again, a reminder here that once you confirm the platform who's going to be on your team, the next consideration is really, as you're assembling your team, how you're going to set up a practice and all the information ahead of time. We at HQ aren't going to be sending out any schedules or creating team assignments. That's really left up to you on the local level to coordinate with your local liaison and make sure to communicate ahead of time that plan. And in doing so, coordinating a plan to do time to do this advanced planning is important, obviously, just to help get on the same page. Iona is going to go into that in the next section when she talks about meeting plan considerations. But I just want to underscore with this slide the importance of having at least one, if not a couple of chances to practice ahead of time with your team. And we again know that many of you on the line have probably already done that. Again, just the practice makes perfect mantra is a great one to live by. And with that, I want to give a couple of other helpful reminders if you haven't thought through this. What to send in advance is pretty straightforward for our meetings this December. We're recommending three things. Danny and his lobby trainings recommended especially our primary ask and leave behind be emailed ahead of time. So you have that as a reference point. I've just put a link to that in the chat. You also want to include the list of who will be attending to confirm that with your office. And you can also in that meeting, you know, kind of that email confirmation of your meeting, include a brief proposed agenda to clarify and help the aide or the staffer or the member themselves know what you'll be covering. And we also recommend some visual evidence of support. So whether that is our virtual postcards that we've had as a monthly action nationally for the last couple months, so I put a link to that in the chat where you can have your own chapter members tell their story, even those that aren't going to be able to join you live, whether that's a local list of recent media that's published or endorsements that you've gathered, some local evidence, not just with the national context, but what you've been up to locally with all the momentum you're generating. A couple of other considerations, then I'll pass it back to you here, Iona. We'll talk first about online considerations and then about phone considerations, because chances are most of you are going to be meeting on an online platform, but we do still have some phone-only meetings. So I guess that free conference call line is still valuable if you're holding on to that. So for online considerations, one thing that we always recommend is setting up a text group where you have all of your group team members on that same text chain. And that way you can coordinate and communicate with each other almost kind of like you're able to do that in person during your lobby meeting as a way of really being able to support each other or giving lifetime feedback outside of what that venue is that you're using with the member or the staffer. You want to make sure ahead of time to minimize distractions that might interrupt you and your team and remind them again of that in your meeting. So muting your phones, silencing your computer sound notifications, making sure that your pets or your kids are taken care of ahead of time, you name it, it's happened to somebody at a lobby meeting. And you also want to think through with your team what they look like on the camera. We don't want anyone that's just kind of down here or way up here. We want a full great audio. We want to practice looking at the camera as much as possible to simulate that face-to-face contact. Make sure that your background is virtual like mine or is free of clutter and not too distracting if you don't have a virtual setup, so that people aren't spending more time looking on what's behind you than at the actual kind of face-to-face connections. And you also want to make sure to remind your team to dress professionally. Even though we aren't meeting in person, it's a great tradition still to look professional, to be treated professionally, and make sure that as people are preparing, that they have that practice as well in being able to keep their face in the center of the screen. And even with their chat or with their renaming, having their name and their city, like I'll just relocate myself here to Duluth, Minnesota, where I'm at, and any other information that your team wants to be able to highlight ahead of time, rather than just something that says something like Terry's iPad or some random string of numbers. You also want to make sure that you restart your computer ahead of time. A lot of times people may, you know, not have all of their applications closed, so only have that Zoom meeting and any note field that you want to open. Turn off other devices in the house. And again, this is going above and beyond, but just as a helpful checklist, these are all available in our slide notes too. And then if you're having connection trouble or if one of your team members is, you can pass on ahead of time that they can actually turn their video camera off. And that's going to save some of the bandwidth and help improve their connection with the audio still being plugged in. At this point, the only other two things that I'll share, and I think Iona is going to get into that in a little bit more too with special online considerations, are just that as you're preparing your team, practicing that mantra of flexibility, scheduling changes for your team members, for the member, they can happen last minute, and that's all right. If plans change and you know, or you find out that somebody cannot attend the meeting, make sure if it's you to notify your state or regional coordinator so that they can find a substitute meeting lead. And if it's one of your members, we'll go over kind of some of the advice of that in a little bit, but just reassure them that we're going to work out with the best team whoever shows up. You also want to make sure to check your email that day of, if not a couple times even leading up to that, in case there are any changes with your meeting plans with the office. That way you can kind of notify your team accordingly. All right, so if you're joining only with phone, here's a couple of other considerations. If you are only gonna have phones, make sure that you know you think through how does only having audio connect and still feature your team's goals. You want to have it be a smaller team as a result because it's going to be harder to signify kind of transitions. You actually want to still practice ahead of time on that platform so that everyone knows how to join smoothly, and especially with audio only, practice the art of transition examples. You may want to have the decision even be made for audio only where the team lead helps kind of cue people bringing in and out, or you practice kind of the handoff as you're done saying the next person if you're going to kind of piggyback off of each other. The other key thing with audio that I think is also really helpful to think through, here also listed on the checklist, is that if people do jump on top of each other, what's your plan in handling it? Whether, you know, youngest person goes through first, or again, the meeting lead kind of jumps in then and helps replay traffic control, you name it. The most important thing, especially with audio, I would say, is thinking through your detailed agenda ahead of time and really have as much as you can an outline that you can reference with each other as a team so that when your team has more to go off of with your preparations, they'll know when they can speak, you know, and what the recommendations are to go into. All right. Well, let's keep going then, Iona. Why don't you take it away with meeting plan suggestions?
Okay. So we've talked about how to get the process going. So let's look at connecting and coordinating with your team. So once your team is firmed up, as Brett said, probably might have already happened, but you never know. We still have a week left of potential lobby days. So introduce yourself with everybody via email, or better yet, call them up. That's really the best. Everybody gets so many emails these days, and there's really nothing like a personal connection. So that's highly recommended. Ask which roles they would like to fill. Find out more about them. If they're new to CCL, then that might be a good time to review the various roles of lobby teams. You know, make sure that they're aware of all that. So get to know them, and just develop kind of a relationship with them and a sense of trust with each other. So then after you've gotten to know everybody, send out an email introducing them to each other and give them maybe a few dates for your meeting. So obviously you might have, you're going to have, time is going to be compressed. You'll just have to figure out how to make sure that, that everybody can get together as soon as possible. So also you might in that email send whatever links you think might be relevant to that particular meeting. So you'll know if that's important. And so what would be the format of those meetings that you have with your team? And CCL has a great meeting plan template on community. So you can use that as a guide to solicit, discuss, and prioritize their ideas for the lobby meeting. So the items that you want to be talking about are the appreciation, the primary goal, what are you trying to accomplish in this meeting, the ask, a supporting ask if you feel you need one, and most importantly, the open-ended questions. And it'd be very, very good to have a whole bunch of them to be able to rely on if there's an opportunity to extend a discussion. So there's also good guidance in on community on the planning your lobby meeting training page. So we'll look at that on the next slide. So what are you doing as meeting leads to prepare for your planning sessions? And you could go ahead and put that in the chat if you've gotten a start already, and Brett will summarize it for us later on. And so here's some suggestions for the ideal situation. And we realize that many of us might be scrambling to get ready. So any contact ahead of time is a good thing. So first, always try to read through at least the last year or two of the full meeting notes of CCL's meetings with that office. You get a sense of where they stand, who the players are, if you're gonna have someone that you've met with before, what people have tried, and where things were left after the last meeting. If a meeting plan, if you're not the liaison and there was a meeting plan submitted by the liaison, then you certainly would review that with everybody. Discuss the meeting plan strategy, and if there isn't one, create one. So if for December, CCL wants you to email the main primary ask supporting the Energy Innovation Act and the carbon pricing is popular resource ahead of time. So Brett is putting that in the link in the chat. And make sure you review the concept of open-ended questions. And also, if you want to do, we're not encouraged to use supporting asks this year, but if it's relevant for your particular situation, then talk that over and discuss that with your team. Sorry. As a lead, you're going to want to facilitate the transitions verbally or with body language cues, or in the case of virtual meetings, it might be by text or by phone. A verbal cue could sound like this: Layla would like to tell you why we're here today and what we're asking for. So something simple like that. So during the planning meeting, let the team know how you're planning on cueing them. And if you've practiced well enough, if you've just done a bunch of practice sessions, you might not even need cues. You might just do this organically, which is totally fine. Another thing to consider is that there are sample meeting outlines in CCL community. So if you have time to review them with your team, then go for that. Finally, during the planning meeting, you're going to want to assign roles. And we discussed roles in great detail in planning your lobby meeting training. If your team settles into a plan that you and the others feel good about, you're also welcome to email the broad overview bullet points of your agenda to the office ahead of time. Congressional Management Foundation has done a lot of research on what members of Congress like to see from people lobbying for them. And they really appreciate being able to prepare resources in ahead of time. But it's, you know, you don't have to. If you're not ready, you know, you don't have to do that. But it's always a good idea if you can.
Yeah, I think we'll just keep moving along here and feel free to put stuff in the chat as we go along. But I think the last review I'll have, and I'm guessing a lot of this is going to be a review, but if you have questions about any of these roles, Iona mentioned just the importance of thinking through who's going to take on which responsibilities ahead of time. And, you know, being able to also make sure everyone on your team is assigned something to be able to participate actively in that discussion. Here's a review of what those main ones are. So again, Iona talked about the lead, and that's obviously a role that we can explore a lot more if you have questions about. The appreciator being the main one that has appreciation shared, but we always encourage everyone, if they do have something to weave into their own intro bio, to build in that appreciation. It doesn't just have to be one person, one role. The main person who delivers the ask, so being able to also communicate that with confidence and to not negotiate yourself as you're delivering that, you know, steady speaking into kind of the importance of that delivery. And then the note taker, the time monitor, and the tech support, especially for our lobby meetings online. Just having somebody designated to be the host who feels comfortable with the platform can help other people know how to mute, monitor the chat, any other security settings your team wants. That's a really critical way to also build in somebody's responsibility. Another shout out, if you haven't already, when you meet with the member or the staffer to get their permission, if it's all right with them to have somebody on your team take a screen capture of your meeting so that you can share it afterwards too and help generate that support and enthusiasm on social media, that's always a great idea. And then lastly, whoever is signed the follow-up is the one that makes sure after the meeting that the tree doesn't just fall in the woods and no one's there to hear it, but that you actually make sure that you actually do the due diligence and do the next steps. And that person really helps follow up and ask people to, you know, make sure to follow up with the commitments they've made and move that ball down the road still. So with that, let's jump into our last section here. We've got some expressing leadership and then we'll stay on for questions. So we've got about 7-8 more minutes of content and then we'll stay on for any other questions that people have. And with this, I think it's really key just to think about all of that was in preparation for the meeting. What does it actually look like as a meeting leader when you get to the day of, the hour of the meeting? Well, one big thing that we recommend first and foremost is you think about having a pre-meeting huddle. So basically it can be on the same meeting ID where you have your meeting set up and you have a waiting room set up or something else so that the member or the staffer doesn't join until you're ready. Or you could have it be set up on a separate meeting ID, a separate platform, you name it. But sometime ahead of the actual meeting to just gather everyone, provide a moment of center and grace, review roles and your actual plan one last time, remind people of the goals and really be able to kind of walk through a final audio video connection, minimizing their distractions, you know, that they may have as a final checkbox. To remind them to be kind of set up to go. Everyone's looking good on the camera. Everyone's in a place where they feel like they're not going to have, again, a dog barking in the background, a computer dinging with a notification, you name it. Also making sure in that meeting practice to practice even handing off and doing those visual or those audio clues between members. And at that point, I think we're ready to just practice some transitions and talk about how to field the notes. So I'll kick it over to you, Iona.
One way to verbally signal a transition is to state it explicitly. So an example of what that might sound like is this. Congresswoman, I want to thank you for your recent efforts to protect citizens from identity theft. That's a really important issue to us as well. Today, we're here to talk about another important topic. So Brett is going to let you know more about why we're here today and what we're seeking. So in this example, I explicitly transitioned to Brett.
Great signal. And let's say this is your third, fourth, fifth meeting, and you're already well into building that relationship with your member. And in this case, you don't have to do a thorough review of CCL's purpose. And in your movement from the appreciation into the primary ask, here's how that might sound for a Republican member of Congress that we've already kind of established that good connection with. Congressman, I want to thank you for your efforts to look out for all Americans impacted by COVID, whether that's through their health or economic well-being. It's obviously a really essential issue for all of us as well. And today we've come to actually discuss a policy solution that pays for itself while making our air cleaner and providing monthly cash payments to look out for poor and middle income Americans. With that, that's a great way to kind of frame it with the politics of the time and also frame it within the values of your member. It doesn't have to be the same way that you're saying it every time for the same way for every office.
So each meeting is different. So proceed in a way that feels comfortable and appropriate for your situation. Being present and being a good listener are essential in determining which parts of the plans need to be scrapped. So here's an example demonstrating how you might transition from the discussion to the end of the meeting close. Congresswoman, I see that we're nearing the end of our time with you today. So we wanted to recap and clarify the main takeaways we have about the next steps we plan to take with your office following today's excellent meeting.
And building on that too, a lead also needs to be able to handle the bringing the meeting back to control if it veers off course. We actually have a whole other separate training that gets into all of these different difficult scenarios. I can put a link to that in the chat, but here's one example of what that might look like. Let's just say that the actual staff is off topic and you're gonna help bring that back from their discussion of healthcare into the mix. So Iona is actually gonna play the leader after I go off the rails as the Congress member who acknowledges my comment and then immediately circles back as to where and why we're having this meeting. So here I go. The real ongoing challenge, Iona, and thank you so much for making time today, that we face in this country is healthcare right now. We need a deeply seated policy change given all the ways our country is broken with access, astronomical costs, and limited coverage.
Well, thank you, Congressman, for raising your essential concern about reforms to healthcare. We hear you, and as an organization, we don't take a position on health policy, but we do take a position on the positive health outcomes that will stem from our country placing a pollution fee on greenhouse gas emissions. This policy isn't just about the climate. It also will improve the health of everyday Americans and prevent premature deaths by reducing pollution that Americans breathe. We know poor air quality alone leads to an estimated 114,000 US deaths each year and sickens thousands more. Would it be helpful for your office for us to connect you with a public health or healthcare professional from our district who's on the front lines addressing these negative health impacts?
Absolutely. That's a very effective way of bringing my attention back. Thank you.
As a meeting leader, you will do a lot of advanced planning and preparation. And that's really important, but we can't let our plans and preparations go on autopilot. We practice ahead of time, but you never know what scenarios will play out. That's why we always need to be focused on what is being said in the moment, and as a team, be ready to help each other respond to what we're actually hearing, not what we expect or think we heard. As the meeting leader, you should recognize when it might be appropriate to diverge from your plan. We refer to this as situational awareness. It's the ability to perceive and understand what's happening at the moment and being able to react to challenges as they happen. Good situational awareness means you're not only listening to the words being said, but also the tone of voice and body language too. One of the benefits of having a team is that if you don't pick up on a particular cue from your member of Congress or staff or one of your fellow lobbyists might, they can then ask a follow-up question or redirect a derailed conversation.
So let's think through about another important key element as you as leader, and that is making sure that everyone is being heard. We know that, you know, whether it's ranging from power dynamics that, you know, may only empower some of your members of your team to feel more permission to speak up than others, whether it's you having an imbalance with kind of the member of Congress and the staffer, finding ways to artfully signal and bring in voices that aren't also being included in your meeting is another role and responsibility as lead that you're really going to have the chance to practice and perfect with these lobby meetings. We love saying that lobbying is a team sport, and it's our role as leads to make sure that all voices present are going to have the chance to be a part of that meeting. So here's a couple of examples that you can see here on this slide, whether it's saying something akin to Iona, I'd like to just pause for a moment and see if there's anything you'd like to add to that point. Emphasizing that you're looking out for the silent constituent or those voices that aren't being heard and bringing them back into the fold is a key element for you as the lead. The other thing too, as you are empowering others, is thinking through a couple of these other situations you may encounter. We love having them practice out loud here so we can get into them here for Q&A too if people have additional thoughts or comments on them. If somebody is saying something that is just flat out wrong or that you feel like warrants correction and getting more of a thorough update, rather than calling them out or correcting them and just, you know, saying anything else, saying something or practicing a phrase like, if I might add to what Iona or whoever was saying, is a really key way of kind of building on that correction without really naming and shaming. Another thing that is probably not going to happen, but just in the off chance that it might, is nice to have in your back pocket, is if somebody just really gets angry or for whatever reason, not the congressperson or the staffer, but your own volunteer goes off topic. And in this case, I'm actually going to play the angry volunteer, and Iona again is going to step in and save the day. So here we go. We're in the middle of the meeting and I just erupt and say something like, it's you guys in Congress who are stalling and making this worse. Get with it.
Congresswoman, obviously we're very passionate people and we're working very hard to try to get something done on time. You were just saying that you think driving innovation should be front and center of any renewable energy agenda. So the size of your teams, I mean, that's a really great, I just love those examples. Anyway, the size of your teams are going to vary from meeting to meeting. So if there are just two or three volunteers in a meeting, then each person will need to fill one or more role. However, if your team ends up being a larger group, it might mean some folks do not have to speak that much outside their initial brief personal introductory story about what concerns brought them to the meeting. So as a leader, you want to acknowledge and appreciate them for that. So having additional people in the meeting whose role is looking pleasant and affirming their interest is important. So even if they don't say much, as lead, it's key to help value them for being present. Also, you could run into the situation where only minutes ahead of the meeting, one of your team members texts you to pass on that they're going to be late. Coming in late has a chance to significantly disrupt the meeting. So as a result, you should be clear with your team ahead of time that the only time you would want a team member trying to join a meeting already in progress if they're the only constituent. Otherwise, politely let your group know that if this situation arises leading into your group's meeting, explain to them that coming in late will disrupt the meeting and that you will fill them in on the meeting afterwards. The final situation to review for a DC meeting is when a volunteer or another unplanned attendee shows up for an online meeting they're not scheduled in. If this happens to you, we empower your team to make the swift decision to have your tech person or any other co-host immediately remove them before the dialogue can happen that distracts from the meeting. So given how much time and coordination has been put into the scheduling and planning process, it's key for your group to feel empowered to do whatever it takes to keep your meeting focused and on track with only those attendees you are planning on having in the meeting plan. This hardly ever happens, just in case you guys are worried. So for most online meeting platforms, you can set up a waiting room or an equivalent feature to allow anyone after the meeting starts to be held in the quote lobby and in need of permission ahead of joining the actual meeting discussion. And from there, you could remove them without even interrupting anyone or privately chat them a question if you're expecting someone and need to confirm who they are.
Yeah, so we've just got a couple more slides to review, and that is largely about the meeting debrief and what to do with the notes. So let's jump into what you should think through about considering, at least with your team, immediately after the meeting. And basically, that is the same thing you might do in the hallway here as if we were meeting in person. And that's just setting up another time, whether it's after the staffer leaves that same Zoom line, you're staying on yours with the lobby set up or that waiting room set up so nobody can re-enter, to do a debrief or a separate line at a different time if people can't stay on for that period. And basically just walking through what worked and what didn't work. And also, as the lead, viewing this as an opportunity to really empower and remind people of each of the strengths that they've demonstrated in that meeting to build up your team, right? So you as lead can begin about framing what went well and nurture those team members. It's great to also ask your note taker to read back at least the highlights of the notes that they've captured. You wanna make sure especially and think through as a team if anything else after listening was missed to add. And then you wanna think through again, getting right that follow-up plan. Who's going to do what with follow-up, who's going to file the meeting minutes online, and how your team is actually going to make sure to thank the office. Two great resources that we have on that, one of which is a tradition that started now since the actual online era, but that is using something like a Kudo board. And the other thing is a great setup. We've just got CCL thank you cards available. So both of those are links in the chat as well. Now, speaking of meeting minutes and who's going to be responsible for all of those, let's think through what that actually looks like. On CCL Community, we've got two great pages. You can just search for these if you don't know what the links are, but one is just called the meeting minutes form. You can find that and just submit your meeting minutes right there. It should be actually on that form printed out too, that your note taker should have taken into the meeting. And then we have another little helpful checklist of how to take great notes. But essentially, you know, in summary, the note taker is basically capturing the main details. You want to make sure that those notes are confidential and not shared with other people. After being submitted, anyone beyond your lobby team itself and the regional coordinator really shouldn't be privy to that information that you discussed. And they also are going to be a document that helps us build momentum. So think through as you're taking and submitted notes, what information is going to be most helpful to know when you're looking back 6 months from now and trying to trigger the most recent meeting recollection in your mind, what was discussed and what those next steps were between now and when you're meeting again. So we recommend listing things, including the staff names present and their titles, all of the individuals that were present, including whether they're a constituent or not, making sure, especially in your notes, to emphasize what you heard from the member rather than what you told them. So what were their concerns? What were their reactions? What were the questions they asked? What were the comments that they said? Really focus, you know, front and center in the meeting, 50-50 of that time should be the staff member talking, and the notes should skew heavily towards recollecting their specifics. The only other thing to mention on this front, we can get to other questions if people have them, is that if you weren't given a lobby meeting ID, sometimes that trips people up when they're submitting their meeting minutes. You can always just enter the very intuitive number 99999. It's a 5-digit number. It's, you know, a field that asks for 9 digits. Just enter 99999, and that's as good as anything. You don't have to have your meeting ID. If you can't find it or you never got it, that's fine. And if you have questions, I'll put Amy's email here in the chat too. She's definitely happy to help with any meeting minute questions.
As meeting leads, so let's just, there's one last area of notes that you're going to be asked about, and there are the two position statements. So during the meeting debrief, one thing you're going to want to make sure that you capture is as close a window as you can get into the member's position on both the Energy Innovation Act as well as their individual position on climate change. So we track this over time, and CCL has developed a letter grading scale with, and it's kind of the opposite. You would think that the grades further down the alphabet actually indicate more favorable positions for us. So a D is better than an A. So the A would be like a denier, and D would be like a total supporter. So in order to make your best, most accurate estimate, we hope that during the meeting, you're able to get clarity on both of these positions during your primary ask about the Energy Innovation Act, as well as in the conversation discussion of the meeting itself.
With that, we have reached the top of the hour, and we also look forward to continuing to support you. So if for whatever reason you have any questions after tonight, here's just a quick reminder of where you can find out more information. Reach out to Iona or I. Our emails are here, as well as post things in the forums or your regional coordinator if you're not in the Northeast. But it's just brett@citizensclimate.org and iona.moody@citizensclimatelobby.org. And the first and last thing that we've said is that quote from Brené Brown that Iona read, connection's the most important thing. You are all going to have the chance to connect with your meeting, with your member or their staff, and move them forward and have that human connection deepen. So thank you for making that possible. And we look forward to hearing how it goes. Thank you, everyone.
Good night. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good luck, everybody.
Go get them.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Citizens Climate Lobby's training program. You can tune into more episodes anywhere podcasts are available. Inspired by what you heard today? Join Citizens Climate Lobby to advocate for bipartisan climate solutions. Go to community.citizensclimate.org to find more trainings, resources, your local chapter, national action teams, discussion forums, and more. Be sure to like our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter and Instagram @CitizensClimate. We also invite all of our listeners to subscribe to our YouTube channel for more inspiration. And together, we are creating the political will for a livable world.